Oh, thank you. But God is the one to really thank. So, hello again. And the title of today's message, God's Covenant with Noah and Abraham. So, if you can see that, let's read our two key verses together. First, Genesis 9:11. Okay, you ready? I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And Genesis 17:4. Ready? As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. there are... You know, when we study the Bible can get to be like a maze. You know, we can get lost here and there in it, although it always contains God's word. But basically, when we study the covenants, we can see what I call the big picture of Scripture. The big picture of Scripture. There are basically five covenants, although God made many covenants with individuals. But there are basically five covenants. First is the Noahic covenant. Covenant. The second is the Abrahamic covenant. The third is the Sinai covenant. And of course, as Katie pointed out, we're going to review the Noah and the covenants God made with Noah and Abraham today, to review them so that when they at the Bible camp they can study the Sinai covenant. So the Sinai covenant is the third one, then the Davidic covenant, and then the covenant of grace which we live in. So if you have this big kind of structure of these five covenants, these five main covenants, then when we study the Bible, we don't get so lost, you know, so to speak, in all of the precepts and all of the little things, the contents, which are also important. But it's good to know what this main structure of this big picture of Scripture is. So as we study today, we're going to study especially about the covenants, but the reason for the covenants is so that we who enter into a covenant relationship with God can pass on the blessings of God to the next generation. Well, every 4 years, the Olympic Games are held. You know about the Olympic Games? One pregame activity that is held at every Olympic Games is the carrying of the Olympic torch. It comes from Greece to wherever the Olympics are held. So this torch is carried by many runners who pass this torch on to the next runner, and even for many, many nations and miles, you know. I think it's even carried in a boat or a plane over the oceans. So in today's passage, we will look at some torch bearing and torch passing on of our faith. We will look at the promises of God, his commands, his blessings, and the inheritance that are passed from one generation to another. Why is it important to study about covenants? It is because the covenants that God made throughout the Bible teach us to live by faith and how the blessings we inherit can be passed on like this flaming torch from one generation to another. Part one, God's covenant with Noah. Everyone knows the story of Noah and the flood. God had blessed Adam and Eve with many blessings as our first parents, especially the command, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over what I've created. But we know that after they had sinned, things changed. After a period of maybe 1,000 years, maybe 1,500 years, maybe more, you know, we don't know for sure, the whole world became corrupt and violent. And God was grieved in his heart that he had made the creation and that he had made man in this creation. But he found one man who was righteous. And who was that, kids? Noah, that's right. God, in his righteous indignation, determined to destroy the whole world, but God made a covenant with Noah. And he said to Noah, as was read in the passage, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Here we see what a covenant is. It is an agreement between two parties with rights, responsibilities, and mutual benefits to both involved. Well, we know what happened. God kept his promise in the covenant that he made to Noah. So when the flood came and destroyed what we call the pre-flood world or the pre-diluvian world, Noah and his family were saved. Why? Because Noah built the ark. Then what happened? Well, after the flood and the land dried up, we know God made another covenant with Noah. This was an eternal covenant through which Noah and his sons would repopulate the world and reestablish God's original intent for man to be stewards of creation under God's authority. So God said to Noah, "I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." This covenant was sealed by a wonderful gift in the heavens. So when God makes a covenant, one thing we find is that he seals the covenant, meaning that he seals it in practical time and space, in real life time and space. His covenant never remains just theoretical out there. So this covenant was sealed by the wonderful gift in the heavens. "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." God's special sign of the rainbow is a beautiful reminder to both him and to us. There would never again be a universal flood. Here we see that the sign of the rainbow is not just a pretty sight, although it's very beautiful. It removed the threat of another universal flood so that men could renew the covenant of being rulers over what God has given. So every time it rained without this covenant, what would happen? Men would say, "Oh, what's the point? It's just going to be destroyed. The earth is going to be destroyed again." So God removed the threat of another universal flood, and he renewed his covenant of stewardship that he had originally given to the pre-flood generation. So he said, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." This is an eternal covenant. This stewardship is still in effect. Through the Noahic covenant, we are still called to be good stewards over that which God has given. This earth, our environment, our households, our finances, our careers, our jobs. Even children or young adults can live as good stewards by keeping their bedrooms neat and clean. Right, kids? Helping dad and mom by taking out the trash. Maybe even helping out in washing dishes. Do you wash dishes, kids? Okay. All right, that's great. That's great, Joe. Especially, we are to be good stewards towards each other. Husband towards the wife. Wife towards the husband. And yes, incredibly, for children to be kind to their siblings. Right, kids? When we become good stewards in our immediate environment, then we will be good stewards over the larger aspects of life as we grow older. When we do this, we are fulfilling an eternal covenant, a covenant promise that God gave to Noah and his descendants, the eternal covenant of godly stewardship that we see. So every time you look at the rainbow and you see a rainbow, the other day when it was raining, I was looking for a rainbow, but I didn't see one, but I was looking for it. But we are reminded of this covenant of godly stewardship that we can fulfill. This is the covenant of the rainbow and the covenant that God would never destroy the earth again, and the covenant of stewardship over all that God has given to us. Amen. Part 2, God's covenant with Abraham. After the time of Noah, the sons of Noah went out and repopulated the earth. Through a number of generations, we finally come to who? Abraham. He was the most well-known of the biblical patriarchs because from him all Israelites are descended. God first called Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And then he gave him a promise. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Everybody knows Genesis 12, 1 through 2, right? We all know it. We all have it memorized, right? God was making a covenant with Abram. It promised Abram a land, a nation, descendants, and for his name to be a great blessing in the world. Why was this important to Abraham? He didn't have any descendants. In those days, which is probably 4,000 years ago, to have a descendant or descendants and to build up your family and then to build up a tribe was the way a person secured his legacy in the world. So Abraham believed God. Even though he had no descendants, not even one child, he obeyed God's command. He journeyed into Canaan. While in the land of Canaan, Abraham waited and waited, and he waited for a very long time for God to fulfill his promise to him. Finally, one day, Abraham complained a little bit. He said to God, "I still don't have an heir, so I will make my servant Eliezer of Damascus my heir." That was his kind of complaint. Then, behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And then he took Abram outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Did you ever try to count the stars out there? Maybe Pastor Russell has. I don't know. But Abraham wanted to know for sure. Abram, or he's still called Abram, he's kind of a practical man. In our day, if the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, Abraham might say, "Now, Lord, let's go down to the notary public and make this covenant official by having it notarized." Well, they didn't go down to a notary public, but God did seal the covenant of promise he made with Abraham through a custom of the day, ratifying a covenant through the cutting of certain animals in two, placing the halves on each side. Then the two parties would walk through the divided animals, saying, "If I don't keep my end of this agreement, may what happened to these animals happen to me." That's very serious. Here we see that the word covenant comes from two words, bereth, meaning covenant, and kereth, meaning to cut off or to cut down. So while God was sealing this covenant, Abram fell into a deep sleep in which God told him about his descendants. They would be mistreated for 400 years in a country not their own, but afterward would come back into the land. So in the slide before this, Abraham saw this flaming torch pass through the animals in his deep sleep. And the flaming torch was God himself. God was sealing the covenant with this blood of these animals and passing the flaming torch of faith onto Abraham. Nevertheless, Abraham was still impatient for an heir. And so what did he do? What's one word? Ishmael. With Sarah's approval, he had a son through Sarah's servant Hagar, and his name was Ishmael. However, God was not pleased. Ishmael was not the son through whom the promises would be passed to. Nevertheless, God kept his promise. So even after the event of Hagar, he said to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Abraham fell face down, which means what? It means that he finally repented of his own efforts to have an heir. So Abraham fell face down. God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. So Abram means exalted father of a few kids. But Abraham means the father of many nations. So we're going to go on. God also made another covenant with Abraham in the flesh, the covenant of circumcision. Here again, we see that God is never theoretical about his covenants. Okay? So Abraham found out how non-theoretical God is through circumcision. Just as God sealed the covenant with Noah through the rainbow, so God sealed his covenant with Abraham in the cutting off of the foreskin. This covenant of circumcision was really important because it also reminded Abraham and his descendants of the danger of being cut off if they should break the covenant. Later in Sinai, we even saw that God was ready to kill Moses because his son was not circumcised. But why circumcision? Why painful circumcision? One reason, it was a means to perpetually restrain Abraham's desire to achieve God's purposes through his own effort, as seen in Hagar. God commands Abraham and his seed to cut the very instrument that Abraham had used to try to fulfill God's promise of a bodily descendant through Hagar. So the purpose of this covenant of circumcision is to remind Abraham that God will give him descendants. God will give him descendants and will make his name great. Abraham is not to make a name for himself, which is what both the pre-Diluvian generation and the Babel generation did. Let's make a name for ourselves. God is saying, no, Abraham, you're not going to make a name for yourself. Your descendant will come from my blessing to you. Nowadays, in the covenant of grace that we live in, we do not have to engage in circumcision of the flesh, but rather live by the circumcision of the heart, the cutting off of sinful desires and unnecessary entanglements with the world. Why? So that we may live as a holy people and live as blessings in this world. Does that mean we are perfect? No. Does that mean we never make mistakes? No. Does that mean we are not sinful? No. But yet, through circumcision of the heart, we strive in the Spirit to please God. Right, Abigail? So why do we study the life of Abraham so much? It is because of what Paul wrote to the Galatians, which so clearly states this: Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. We are the Gentiles. We are not Israelites. We are the Gentiles. God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Wow, that's incredible. Okay, we are blessed along with Abraham. Even Jim Paul is blessed along with Abraham. And Steve and Ruth and Tony. And of course, Peter, right? Peter, back there. And Joan. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We inherit all the promises that God made to Abraham because these are everlasting promises, and it is an everlasting covenant. Now, we not only live our lives of faith, but God's intent is for us to pass our faith on to our descendants. So, part 3, God renews the Abrahamic covenant through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Finally, the descendant that God promised, Isaac, was born. Sarah was so happy that she laughed, and all of her friends laughed with her because God was so good to her in her old age. Abraham also got a wife for Isaac from his own people, whose name was Rebekah. As Isaac grew up, God gave his father Abraham a test to sacrifice his own son. Abraham was obedient. As we know, Abraham raised the knife to kill his own son. And yet, just at that moment, the angel stopped him and gave the ram as a substitutionary offering. I don't think Isaac ever forgot that moment. I think in Isaac's life, he can always remember that knife being raised up above him. So I believe that Abraham could pass his faith on to Isaac. Why? Because Isaac saw and actually was in awe of his father's obedient faith. So he saw his father's faith, but he was also thankful that God spared his life. I think he was very thankful also. How do we pass our faith on? Our children must see our faith. They not only see our faith, but they are thankful for the substitutionary offering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for their sakes. Nevertheless, during his adult years, when there was a famine in the land, Isaac wanted to leave the land of promise and find a job with the Philistines and earn money for his family. But God spoke to him and said, "Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." In a sense, Isaac was a second gen. The thing that many second gens want to do is get away from their parents and establish their own life. In a sense, this is normal. But Isaac teaches all second gens one thing: stay in the land and God will bless you. And Isaac responded in faith to God's promise. He stayed in the land and he dug wells and planted crops in the land. And when he did, he reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. Digging wells for Isaac was like applying for jobs. And you keep, no matter how many times you apply, you keep getting turned down, keep getting rejected. But Isaac kept digging. He kept applying for jobs. Finally, he got a job. And when he planted the seed of God's word, he raised a hundredfold disciples, right? Are you a second gen? Through Isaac, God speaks to all second gens about keeping the faith that was passed on to them. Then there was Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Esau and Jacob. When Rebekah realized she was pregnant with twins, God told her that the older Esau would serve the younger Jacob. Jacob was a third gen. He was kind of awkward, kind of weak, even fearful of his much stronger brother Esau. But Jacob was very ambitious, and he was resorted to trickery and craftiness and deceit to get all the best things. He really wanted the best things of all. He tricked Esau into selling him his birthright and tricked his father into giving him his blessing. However, he ran away in fear from his brother. However, when he was running, God gave him a vision. Remember Jacob's ladder. You can see Jacob there on the right and the ladder with the angels of heaven ascending and descending. He said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." God promised to be with Jacob wherever he went. God extended his covenantal love, it's called in Hebrew hesed love, to uphold Jacob. This hesed love means that God Almighty will uphold his covenant people and bring them through all their sins, mistakes, and failures, in a sense to carry them until their faith comes to fruition. The weak and fearful third-gen Jacob nevertheless grew strong and wealthy. by working for his uncle Laban. However, all of his material wealth and family did not resolve his fear problem. And finally, only when he wrestled with God did he overcome his fear problem. And God blessed him and said to him that no longer will your name be Jacob, but your name will be Israel. The other main character in Genesis is Joseph. The point of Joseph's story was to chronologically bind the patriarchal period in Canaan and how the Israelites came to be living in Egypt. So kids, when you study at Bible camp, it was Joseph who brought all of these Israelites down to Egypt. And then there, Moses came, delivered them, and they went to Sinai, and then the Sinai covenant starts. So what do we learn from this passage? The way God redeems his people is through a covenantal relationship with him. We read in Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Sometimes the word commandment, we don't really like that word too much, but actually commandments are good. So commands are good, demands are not good. Because demands are usually sort of tyrannical in nature, but God's commands are good. And when we keep God's commands, he keeps his promises to us. We see in the life of Abraham that Abraham kept God's commands. We also see that he passed the torch of faith to Isaac, who remembered his father's faith to stay in the land. God upholds his covenant people with the hesed love that he gave to Jacob during their lives. Thirdly, God seals his covenants in a practical way, whether in a beautiful rainbow, or in the sacrifice of animals, or circumcision, or in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This is so that the patriarchs and ourselves would know that God is very serious about relationships. That's why we enter into a covenant relationship with him. I remember back when I was a younger guy, there was the Jesus movement. In the Jesus movement, I may be dating myself, but anyway. In the Jesus movement, everybody was, yeah, Jesus is my friend. He's my buddy. You know, Jesus is my friend. He's my buddy, you know. But actually, God is very, very serious about relationships. And that's why we have a relationship with God through these covenant relationships. So, in conclusion, the psalmist explained, God always remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, and he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. We are partakers in the everlasting covenant, which found its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you and I find the fulfillment of our lives and our legacy, as the patriarchs did, in the covenantal promises of God, who keeps his promises to us, upholds us, and makes us into blessing, who pass the flaming torch of faith from one generation to another. Amen. Let's read our key verse again. Okay, go ahead. I establish covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that we can study the Bible and understand your word through the structure of the covenants, the five covenants of God. God made many covenants with people, and we find that we enter into a relationship with God through a covenant. The patriarchs entered into the relationship, their relationship with God through these covenants. We also live in the covenant of grace through which our Lord Jesus shed his blood. We also see that God upholds his people who enter into this relationship with his hesed love. God upholds us when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we sin. But God upholds us and brings us back to him. And third, we realize that God's covenants are in real space and time through the rainbow, through the shedding of the blood of animals, through circumcision, through the blood of Jesus Christ. May we inherit the promises of God through these covenant relationships and pass them on as a flaming torch to the next generation. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.